Today we're going to be mainly in Habakkuk 1, 12 through 2, 14. I have 20 on the in the bulletin, but we're only going to go to 14 today and talk about this. You know, and this is a short Old Testament minor prophet. Does anyone know the difference between a minor prophet and a major prophet? That's a good thing because I didn't know the answer to that question either until I was asked and was told. The only difference between a minor prophet and a major prophet is the length of the book. So we're looking at Habakkuk, a prophet of God. It is a very short book in the Old Testament, and we're going to be finishing it up today. You know, we started out a week before last with a great question that he asked God, "How long, O Lord?" How many of us have had that thought go through our minds? How long, O Lord, until you make things right? Why do you put up with injustice? Why do you allow me to look at evil? Why do you tolerate the wrongdoing? And on it goes. Habakkuk's heart was complaining to God that these things were happening in his day, and he waited for God to answer. And God answers him in a very powerful way. God responds, "I'm going to do something in your day that you would not believe." God was going to be raising up the Babylonian Empire to come in and conquer and invade the nation of Israel because of their sin. Because of their sin of idolatry. You see, the nation of Israel, time and time and time again, would come to God and repent and then turn away from him to idolatry and come back to God and turn away and come back. And it kept going on. And God had finally had enough. And he was sending the Babylonian Empire to issue judgment on his nation and on his people. They had time and time again forsaken the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and gone their own way, and God's judgment was coming. It was coming on Israel, and it was going to be severe. This course of action wouldn't have crossed the mind of the prophet Habakkuk. He wouldn't have thought that God was going to do something like this, and I'm sure that it puzzled him in some ways. It probably puzzled him and made him consider what was going to happen. Now, after God gives him this answer, we can only imagine the question, right? The first question was, "God, how long? How long until you make things right?" God then answers the prophet and says, "I am sending the Babylonians, this people that is unlike anything else. They are going to run over you, and they're going to take things that they do that they did not make. They are going to live in cities they did not build. They are going to be their only religion is to themselves. And it's going to be devastating. And it's going to be hard." Now, I can imagine the prophet listening to these things coming from God. And if you're sitting there with me and you've ever asked God a question and he's answered in a way that you did not understand, what potentially begins to happen? The next question that inevitably comes to mind: why? It's a question that we cannot deny, right? Why? Why is it going to happen? And this causes us to go deep and to dig deep and be prepared to follow the question to its end result. When we ask questions like that, we've got to be prepared to take it to the end result on where God wants us to go. Remember, asking questions is the best way for us to learn. And asking God questions is no different. When we ask questions in this life on how things work and why they work certain ways, we find out and we figure out why they do those things. The same thing is true in our walk with God. The same thing is true in our relationship with him. We need to ask questions, and we better be prepared to allow God to take us to the end result. And this is where we're going to pick up this morning in Habakkuk 1, starting in verse 12, and we'll go through 2:1. "O Lord, are you not everlasting? My God, my Holy One, who will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net, he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying the nations without mercy? I will stand at my watch and station myself on the remnant. I will look and see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. So we'll stop right there this morning and talk about this here just for a little while. The prophet, like any good man, is searching for the answers to the questions that he has. And when God told him that he was going to be raising up the Babylonian Empire to execute judgment on the nation of Israel, Habakkuk didn't quite understand what he was going to do. Therefore, the question, why? Why? And it's an important question to ask. It is an important question to ask. It is the next logical question after how long is why. Basically, Habakkuk begins reminding God of his eternal power, his righteousness, his holiness, his justice. And Habakkuk, he did not understand the reasoning why God would allow the unrighteous to bring this form of judgment. He didn't understand, not only from the Babylonian perspective, he didn't understand why God was putting up with everything wrong that the Israelites were doing, right? It wasn't just specifically the Babylonians that Habakkuk's talking about here, but he's also talking about his own people. Why, God, do you allow these unrighteous people to win? Right? God, why do you allow them to win? Why do you put up with that? Why do you put up with it? Why would you allow this treacherous people to succeed against the righteous? Why the world system? God, why does the world system advance upon your kingdom? More for our day, right? Why do you allow these things to happen? And like last week, or the week before last, this is a great question because most of us have them, right? How many of you have ever asked God why? God, why? Now, for those of you that have been sitting in these pews for some time, you'll know that I have a stance on why questions, that they're not always the very best question to ask. Why? No pun intended. I was hoping that would have gone over so much better. Why? Well, because this question generally leads to more why questions, and you begin to go into a circle. Have you ever had a kid ask you why over and over and over again? Kind of leads you in this circle, doesn't it? Better question to ask maybe what? What type of questions we can learn from instead of whys? Like, God, what is it you want me to learn through what I'm facing right now? Great question to ask, but we cannot kid ourselves. Why questions are just inevitable. We ask those questions, don't we? Why, God? Why? Well, no matter what the question that we ask, the point is we should be looking to the source who can only answer those questions. We have got to be looking to God to answer those questions, correct? I don't go to my friend. I don't go to my spouse. I don't go to a relative. I don't go to someone who is more educated than I to ask these types of important questions. We go to God because God answers His children. God answers the questions that we have about life, and we go to Him. The question that we need to be asking ourselves is then, how do I respond as a child of God when I am faced with these nagging questions that rattle around in my head? Why, God? I need to go to Him, and I need to respond in the right way, in the way of a child of God. Now, before we get into God's response to these questions, we must notice an important thing that Habakkuk asks, and he is in the answer. He's waiting for this answer. So Habakkuk asks the question, and at the end of this passage of scripture that we read this morning, he makes a statement that is very, very important for us to understand and take in today. He makes this statement. He says, he asks the question, and he asks in the right frame of mind, and he says, I will stand at my watch. I will stand at my watch. I love that picture, don't you? It's a great picture. Imagine Habakkuk in this castle. He's asking the question of God. He's looking out over all of the land. He sees the enemy that is gathering and is coming. And he asks the question, why God? But then he makes this important statement. He says, I will stand at my station. I will stand at my watch. I will trust you, God. I will trust you. He says, God, I don't understand. I don't understand what you're doing. But that does not mean that I don't trust you. How many of us have had those thoughts before? God, I don't understand. I don't see how this is going to bring you glory. I don't see how you're going to come through on the other side victorious. I don't understand what is happening, but I don't have to. I trust you, and I will stand at my watch, right where you have put me. God, you have put me here for a reason. You've required me to stand here. I don't understand what you're doing, but I trust you. Is God required to give us an answer for what He's doing? Is God required to let me in on His plan? No, He is not. God does not owe me anything. He's not indebted to anyone. And He doesn't need our permission to do His perfect will and to do as He pleases. And Habakkuk said, I will stand at my watch. God, I don't understand what you're doing, but this is the place that you called me to be, and I will do what you've called me to do. I trust you. I trust you to the end. Are we still trusting God? Because let me tell you, Habakkuk didn't understand in his day, and we can look at our world today and feel the same way. God, I don't understand why such evil is victorious in our land today. I don't understand how people have turned so far and so quickly away from your truth, that we are headed for destruction. God, I don't understand it. But I will stand at my watch, and I trust you no matter what happens. That's the response of a godly child, of God's child. And we must trust Him to do what is right and to do it in His own way. We trust Him with that. So God then answers Habakkuk, starting in verse 2. And we're just going to go to verse 14. Today, it says, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits its appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. Indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest because he is as greedy as the grave and like death is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all of the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him with ridicule and scorn, saying, "Woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by the exhortation. How long must he go on? Will not your debtors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their victim. Because you have plundered many nations, the peoples who are left will plunder you. For you have shed men's blood and destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Woe to him who builds on his realm by unjust gains, to set up his nest on high and escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming their own house and fortifying your life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of woodwork will echo it. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by crime. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, as nations exalt themselves for nothing? For the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." So God responds to Habakkuk in a very telling way. And it means more to us today than some may realize. First of all, God begins the response to the complaint. Habakkuk reminded God that you are holy, that you are just, that you do not look with evil, with good eyes and good things. And evil is very prevalent all over the place. We have the same desire to see God make things right, don't we? And I believe God is speaking to us of what will happen, not only to the Babylonian Empire, but to all evil leaders and principalities, answering this complaint. In verses 3 and 4, it speaks of this revelation. How many of you noticed that revelation was lowercased? I noticed that it was lowercased, but when I thought about it, is he not speaking about the revelation of the end? Revelation as in what's coming at the end of the New Testament, at the end of time. Revelation has a set point, right? It has a set point, and only God knows that set point. And he says that, by golly, do not be worried about the timing of it. It will come in its perfect timing. It will happen. It will happen. You see, we look at God's victory and we understand that he is victorious. The scripture tells us that it is. But in our day and in Habakkuk's day, he had this little itty bitty sliver, this little snippet of this great big story. In our day, we have this little bitty snippet. I can only see what is directly in front of me. I can't see what is going. It is 10:55 right now. I have no idea what's going to happen at 11. That's just 5 minutes away. I cannot see it. God, however, sees it all. He knows the beginning from the end. He is in the past. He is present with us in the future. And he is already in. He's present with us today. He's already in the future. That's who our God is. He's not limited by what limits us. I can't see 5 minutes in front of me. He does. And he says, be patient and wait, for this revelation is coming at its appointed time. Do not doubt me. Trust me. Trust me is what he's saying. So this is our takeaway this morning. What is it? Well, I would sum it all up with this, that it seems like this world is falling apart all around us and that the enemies of God are winning. We can trust him that his timing is perfect and is always right. It's the only thing that we can depend upon because he made it clear through the Holy Scripture that he wins. We see this coming revelation. God is the one who makes all things right and is victorious in the very end. May we trust Him and be perfect with His perfect timing and patiently wait for our redemption. We wait for our redemption. So how do we take it all? Here's a spoiler alert. God wins, right? God wins. Does it matter that He's not doing things the way I might want Him to? No. He's perfect. I'm not. God wins. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, when things really begin to get bad, they are going to get bad. How do we respond? How do we respond as a child of God? As Habakkuk ends his prophecy here in Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there is no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. No matter what happens in our world, no matter what comes our way, no matter what devastation God brings in judgment, understand one thing. He is God. You are His child if you follow Jesus by faith. Those two things make us say, whatever happens, God, I can face it with joy. Because I know this is not my home. My home is perfect. My home is coming. My God is coming. And He's coming with power. And He will bring us with Him. That is how we stand when we see things that are happening in our world today. Stand strong. Don't slip. Don't stumble. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your word. Oh God, it is so precious to us that it speaks of Your truth and it shows us who we are, how to live, how to respond. Father, and we trust You. We trust You. So Father, I pray for power and strength to walk these days that are ahead of us. No matter what comes our way, may it be like no surprise because You've told us what's coming. Father, may we continue to look to You for guidance and direction. Father, use us in a mighty and powerful way to speak to this world about why we trust You and what is coming. Father, we give You thanks and praise for Your goodness, Your holiness, Your justice. And Father, until we come back next week, may You be blessed. Use us in a mighty and powerful way. We give You thanks and praise today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.